Some officers take them away. Good God, until their greater pleasures first be known, that are to censure them.
We are not the first who, with best meaning, have incurred the worst. For thee, oppressed king, I am cast down. Myself could else outfrown false fortune's frown. Shall we not see these daughters and these sisters?
No, 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 no. Come, let's away to prison. We two alone will sing like birds in the cage. When thou dost ask me blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness. So we'll live and pray and sing and tell old tales and laugh at gilded butterflies and hear poor rogues talk of court news. And we'll talk with them too, who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out. And take upon us the mystery of things, as if we were God's spies. And we'll wear out in a walled prison packs and sects of great ones that ebb and flow by the moon.
Take them away.
Upon such sacrifices, my Cordelia, the gods themselves throw incense. Oh, have I caught thee? He that parts us shall bring a brand from heaven and fire us hence like foxes. Wipe thine eyes. The good years shall devour them flesh and fell ere they shall make us weep. We'll see them starved first. Come.
Come hither, Captain. Hark. Take thou this note. Go follow them to prison. One step I have advanced thee. If thou dost as this instructs thee, thou dost make thy way to noble fortunes. Know thou this, that men are as the time is. To be tender-minded does not become a sword. Thy great employment will not bear question. Either say thou'll do it or thrive by other means.
I'll do it, my lord.
About it, and right happy when thou hast done. Mark, I say, instantly, and carry it so as I have set it down.
I cannot draw a cart nor eat dried oats. If it be man's work, I'll do it.
Sir, you have showed today your valiant strain, and fortune led you well. You have the captives who are the opposites of this day's strife. I do require them of you, so to use them as we shall find their merits and our safety may equally determine.
Sir, I thought it fit to send the old and miserable king to some retention and appointed guard, whose age had charms in it, whose title more, to pluck the common bosom on his side and turn our impressed lances in our eyes which do command them. With him I sent the queen, my reason all the same, and they are ready tomorrow or at further space to appear where you shall hold your session. At this time we sweat and bleed. The friend hath lost his friend, and the best quarrels in the heat are cursed by those that feel their sharpness. The question of Cordelia and her father requires a fitter place.
Sir, by your patience, I hold you but a subject of this war, not as a brother.
That's as we list to grace him. Methinks our pleasure might have been demanded ere you had spoke so far. He led our powers, bore the commission of my place and person, the which immediacy may well stand up and call itself your brother.
Not so hot. In his own grace, he doth exalt himself more than in your addition.
In my rights, by me invested, he compeers the best.
That were the most if he should husband you.
Jesters do oft prove prophets.
Hola, hola. That eye that told you so looked but a squint.
No! Lady, I am not well, else I should answer from a full, flowing stomach. General, take thou my soldiers, prisoners, patrimony. Dispose of them, of me. The walls is thine. Witness the world that I create thee here, my lord and master.
Mean you to enjoy him?
The let alone lies not in your goodwill.
Nor in mine, lord.
Half-blooded fellow, yes.
Let the drum strike and prove my title thine.
Stay yet. Hear reason. Edmund, I arrest thee on capital treason and in thy attaint this gilded serpent. for your claim, fair sister. I bar it in the interest of my wife. 'Tis she is subcontracted to this lord, and I, her husband, contradict your banes. If you will marry, make your loves to me. My lady is bespoke.
An interlude.
Thou art armed, Gloucester. Let the trumpet sound. If none appear to prove upon thy person thy heinous, manifest, and many treasons, there is my pledge. I'll make it on thy heart ere I taste bread. Thou art in nothing less than I have here proclaimed thee.
Sick? Oh, sick!
If not, I'll ne'er trust medicine.
There's my exchange. What in the world he is that names me traitor, villain like he lies. Called by the trumpet. He that dares approach on him, on you, who not, I will maintain my truth and honor firmly.
A herald, ho!
A herald, ho! A herald!
Trust to thy single virtue, for thy soldiers, all levied in my name, have in my name took their discharge.
My sickness grows upon me.
She is not well. Convey her to my tent. Come hither, herald. Let the trumpet sound and read out this.
Sound trumpet! If any man of quality or degree within the lists of the army will maintain upon Edmund, supposed Earl of Gloucester, that he is a manifold traitor, let him appear by the third sound of the trumpet. He is bold in his defense.
Sound!
Again! Again!
Ask him his purposes. Why he appears upon this call of the trumpet.
What are you? Your name, your quality, and why you answer this present summons?
No, my name is lost. By treason's tooth, bear gnawn and canker bit. Yet am I noble as the adversary I come to cope.
Which is that adversary?
What's he that speaks for Edmund, Earl of Gloucester?
Himself. What sayst thou to him?
Draw thy sword, that if my speech offend a noble heart, thy arm may do thee justice. Here is mine. Behold, it is my privilege, the privilege of mine honours, my oath and my profession. I protest, maugre thy strength, place, youth, and eminence. Despite thy victor sword and fire new fortune, thy valour and thy heart, thou art a traitor. False to thy gods, thy brother, and thy father. Conspiring against this high illustrious prince, and from the extremest upward of thy head to the descent and dust below thy foot, a most toad-spotted traitor. Say thou no, this sword, this arm, and my best spirits are bent to prove upon thy heart whereto I speak. Thou liest.
In wisdom I should ask thy name. But since thy outside looks so fair and warlike, and that thy tongue some say of breeding breathes, what safe and nicely I might well delay by rule of knighthood, I disdain and spurn. Back do I toss these treasons to thy head, whether hell-hated lie or whelm my heart, which, for they yet glance by and scarcely bruise, this sword of mine shall give them instant way where they shall rest for ever.
Trumpets, speak!
Save him!
This is practice, Gloucester. By the law of war, thou wast not bound to answer an unknown opposite. Oh, thou art not vanquished, but cozened and beguiled.
Shut your mouth, dame, or with this paper shall I stop it. Hold, sir! Thou worse than any name. Read thine own evil. No tearing, lady. I perceive you know it.
Say if I do. The laws are mine, not thine. Who can arraign me for
it? Most monstrous. Oh, knowest thou this paper?
Ask me not what I know.
Go after her. She's desperate. Govern her.
What you have charged me with, that have I done and more, much more. The time will bring it out. 'Tis past, and so am I. But what art thou that hast this fortune on me? If thou art noble, I do forgive thee.
Let's exchange charity. I am no less in blood than thou art, Edmund. If more, the more thou hast wronged me. My name is Edgar, and thy father's son. The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. The dark and vicious place where thee he got cost him his eyes.
Thou spoken right. 'Tis true. The wheel has come full circle. I am here.
Methought thy very gait did prophesy a royal nobleness. I must embrace thee. Let sorrow split my heart if ever I did hate thee or thy father.
Worthy prince, I knight.
Where have you hid yourself? How have you known the miseries of your father?
By nursing them, my lord. List a brief tale, and when 'tis told, oh, that my heart would burst. The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near, oh, our lives' sweetness, that we the pain of death would hourly die rather than die at once, taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained, and in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings, their precious stones new lost, became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair, never... Our fault revealed myself unto him until some half hour passed when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of this good success, I asked his blessing and from first to last told him our pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support. 'Twixt two extremes of passion, joy and grief, burst. Smilingly.
This speech of yours hath moved me, and shall perchance do good. But speak you on, you look as you had something more to say.
If there be more woeful, hold it in, for I am almost ready to dissolve, hearing of this.
This would have seemed a period to such as love not sorrow, but another, to amplify too much, would make much more and top extremity. Whilst I was big in clamour, came therein a man, who, having seen me in my worst estate, shunned my abhorred society, but then, finding who 'twas that so endured, with his strong arms he fastened on my neck and bellowed out as he'd burst heaven, threw him on my father, told the most piteous tale of Lear and him that ever ear received, which in recounting his grief grew puissant, and the strings of life began to crack. Twice then the trumpet sounded, and there I left him tranced.
But who was this?
Kent, sir. The banished Kent, who in disguise followed his enemy king and did him service improper for a slave.
Help! Help! Oh, help!
What kind of help?
Speak, man!
What means this bloody knife?
'Tis hot. It smokes. It came even from the heart of... Oh, she's dead.
Who dead? Speak, man.
Your lady, sir. Your lady and her sister by her is poisoned. She confesses it.
I was contracted to them both. All three now marry in an instant.
Here comes Kent.
Produce the bodies, be they alive or dead. The judgment of the heavens that makes us tremble touches us not with pity. Oh, is this he? The time will not allow the compliment which very manners urges.
I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Great thing of us forgot. Speak, Edmund. Where's the king? And where's Cordelia? Seest thou this object, Kent?
Alack. Why thus?
Yet Edmund was beloved. The one the other poisoned for my sake, and after slew herself.
Even so. Cover their faces.
I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature. Quickly send. Be brief in it to the castle, for my writ is on the life of Lear and on Cordelia. Nay, send in time.
Run! Run, oh, run!
To whom, my lord? Who has the office? Send I token of reprieve.
Well thought on. Take my sword. Give it the captain.
Haste thee for thy life.
He hath commission from thy wife and me to hang Cordelia in the prison and to lay the blame upon her own despair that she fordid herself.
The gods defend her. Bear him hence a while.
Help! Help! Oh, you are men of stones. Had I your tongues and eyes, I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She's gone forever. I know when one is dead and when one lives, she's dead as earth. Lend me a looking glass. If that her breath will mist or stain the stone, why then she lives.
Is this the promised end or image of that horror?
Fall and cease.
This feather stirs. She lives. If it be so, it is a chance which does redeem all sorrows that ever I have felt.
Oh, my good master.
Prithee away.
It is noble Kent, your friend.
A plague upon you, murderous traitors all. I might have saved her. Now she's gone forever, Cordelia. Cordelia, stay a little. What is thou sayest? Her voice was ever soft, gentle, and low. An excellent thing in woman. I killed the slave that was hanging thee.
'Tis true, my lords, he did.
Did I not, fellow? I have seen the day with my good biting falchion I would have made them skip. I am old now, and these same crosses spoil me. Who are you? Mine eyes are not of the best, I'll tell you straight.
If fortune brag of two she loved and hated, one of them we behold.
This is a dull sight. Are you not Kent?
The same. Your servant Kent. Where is your servant Caius?
He is a good fellow, I can tell you that. He'll strike and quickly too. He's dead and rotten.
No, my good lord. I am the very man.
I'll see that straight.
That from your first of difference and decay have followed your sad steps.
You are welcome hither.
No man else. All's cheerless, dark, and deadly. Your eldest daughters have fordone themselves and desperately are dead.
Aye, so I think.
He knows not what he says. And vain is it that we present us to him.
Very bootless.
Edmund is dead, my lord. That's but a trifle here. You lords and noble friends know our intent. What comfort to this great decay may come shall be applied. For us we will resign during the life of this old majesty to him our absolute power. You to your rights with boot and such addition as your honors have more than merited. All friends shall taste the wages of their virtue, and all foes the cup of their deservings.
Oh,
see.
And my poor fool is hanged. No life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life, and thou no breath at all? Thou'lt come no more. Never.
Oh, friends of my soul, you twain rule in this realm, and the gored state sustain.
I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. I must not say no.
The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. The oldest hath borne most, we that are young shall never see so much, nor live so long.
In King Lear by William Shakespeare, Lear was played by Trevor Peacock. Gloucester, Clive Merrison. Goneril was Penny Downey. Regan, Samantha Bond. Cordelia, Julia Ford. Kent, Anton Lesser. And the Fool, John Rogan. Albany, David Horovitch. Cornwall, Rob Edwards. Burgundy and the Doctor was Christopher G. France and the First Servant, John McAndrew. Oswald, Jonathan Taffler. The Knight and Second Servant, Alex Lowe. The Gentleman, Clifford Rose. And the Old Man and the Herald, David Shaw Parker. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The musicians were Chris Brannick, Dave Tosh, Richard Bengerfield, Stephen Hiscock, and Dominique Lejeune, all on percussion. Sackbuts were Kate Rockets, Adam Wolfe, and Adrian France. The music was composed and conducted by Dominique Lejeune. King Lear was directed by Clive Brill.